Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, we are celebrating our fifth anniversary. On May the 4th, 2018, The Issue Is launched in Los Angeles with our first guest that week, the Lieutenant Governor of California, Gavin Newsom, who was hoping to become the governor. Well, in 2023, he has been the governor now for an entire term and has begun his second term with some speculation that he may be running for president one day. We caught up with him at the Milken Global Conference at the Beverly Hilton in Beverly Hills. This event brings together thought leaders from around the world in the worlds of politics and entertainment and health and art and philanthropy and lots of people in the finance world. This started by Michael Milken. Governor Newsom, one of the marquee draws, one of several governors speaking, both Democrat and Republican. He spoke to Stephanie Ruhle of MSNBC. Then after him, she had a conversation about AI with Eric Schmidt, the former head of Google, and Reid Hoffman, the founder of LinkedIn. The governor stayed for that. After that, he spoke with us about the issues of AI. We also touched base on a lot of the other hot topics of the day, including his recent travel to the South, what he learned from that, Senator Dianne Feinstein's health, what he could potentially do in terms of a replacement. We talked about the writer's strike. We talked about his future. We talked about the fifth anniversary of our show and this ride we've been on together. So here is our full, unedited conversation with the governor of California. And yes, it is a little loud because we're in the middle of a crowded room with this 4,000 people around us. But I still think you can hear him and get the main point. Here's Governor Newsom.
Governor Newsom, it's been 5 years since we launched our show. You were there on week one. And it means so much you're here on the fifth anniversary.
That was before I had gray hair. I mean, you know, it wasn't black and white movie days ago. It goes fast. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you for everything. What a ride you've been on. And here we are, sort of, you're telling the California story here. What do you want all these folks from around the world to know about our state?
Well, the messages are in front of us, not behind us, that there's, an anger machine that 24 hours is taking us down, taking shots, exploiting areas of weakness. And I want to focus on what's right. Whatever you focus on, you find more of. And the fact is, this is one of the most resilient economies on the planet. It's the $3.5 trillion a year economy. We're closing the gap to be the fourth largest economy in the world. We're right behind Germany right now. We came out of COVID with 7.8% GDP growth. We continue to outperform in so many areas. And we have more fundamentals that distinguish our game from the game played everywhere else that I'm deeply confident about our future. And I'll just close on this, particularly in the space that's dominating our consciousness, artificial intelligence. No one is more poised to take advantage of this order of magnitude revolution than the state of California.
But we were just listening to some of the leaders in that talk about that. Are you scared of artificial intelligence? Because there's a lot of folks that are. What's your message to those folks?
They say fear is nothing but false evidence that appears real. So it's in the absence of knowing. Yeah, I'm a little fearful in the absence of evidence to suggest otherwise, which only suggests this. We heard two points of view expressed on the stage just a moment ago by two of the AI leaders and two of Silicon Valley's oldest leaders and most inspired leaders in terms of their consciousness.
Eric Schmidt and Reid Hoffman.
Meaning yeah. their values are consistent with California values. So they express tremendous optimism, but they're not denying some of the parameters of concern and how we can bucket then color them. So look, it's happening in real time. I don't think people appreciate how fast it's happening. And it's happening here in our state, and I don't think everyone appreciates that. So we have a unique role and responsibility to answer the anxiety and concern, but also express the productivity optimism.
But how do you regulate that? Because there's so many lawmakers that don't understand what's happening. You're taking time to actually try to understand what's happening, but it's moving so fast. Yeah. We know our laws don't move fast on almost anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going from search to suggest. I mean, the nomenclature is changing, right? Stacking of technologies, all of this. I mean, we're just coming to grips with what do we do with Section 230 at a federal level, and the inability for the federal government to reconcile these things has created opportunities for California in the privacy space to lead, is protecting our children where California is leading. It's imperfect, and I'm mindful of that. We're doing more, but we're trying to be an example. We're not just waiting for the guy on the white horse in Washington, D.C. to answer that question. Here's my biggest concern, though, is that we can tend to overcompensate through neglect and naivete and try to shut something down before we even understand it. So that's the dialectic. I mean, that's the balancing act that we have to go. How do we be nimble and flexible, but not overcorrect where we can stifle innovation, imagination, and fundamentally lose our advantage?
We know you launched a political action committee recently.
The problem in our country right now, authoritarian leaders.
You've been touring the country talking about democracy, heading to red states. You brought your kids with you.
Yeah.
What did you want them to learn? What did you learn from that trip?
It changed my life. I mean, I'm a different person.
How so?
I was ignorant beyond words. I didn't know how little I knew about the civil rights movement, about Emmett Till, Rosa Parks, how little I know about this country. I mean, it's hard to put into words when you're standing there right where Rosa Parks was taken off the bus. You're at that bus stop. You're breathing similar air. And then to understand not that moment where she said no, but the 382 days that came after that with the Montgomery bus boycott. I didn't understand that as fully as I do now. And to be there with my children, to talk about Emmett Till with my 13-year-old, who was paying attention, a 13-year-old paying attention, because Emmett was just 14 when he was taken out of the house at 2:30 in the morning, and to watch my daughter now just asking me questions, calmly listening to the tour guide, that was a game changer. And it stretched their mind and my consciousness and my deeper sense of accountability and responsibility to address what's going on in this country.
But you've seen like the San Francisco Chronicle editorial, the Atlantic, others criticizing that you're basically your eye off of California because you're going on trips like this. What's your response to that?
I mean, nonsense. You know, it was ironic. You talk about my kids. That was our spring break. And I said, guys, the first 3 days, here's where we're going. Mississippi, Alabama, we're going into Arkansas, and then we're going to end up in Florida. We did that on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday on my vacation with my kids. So taking the eye off the ball is understandable, but it's a little lazy, particularly when I just finished 17 public events in 5 days right before I left. I'm passionate about this state, but also recognize that we're not an island, even California, and we don't live in isolation to what's happening in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in Texas, or with an Amarillo judge, or frankly, what's happening in terms of our history and what's happening in terms of those that want to erase our history and how that's impacting the curriculum for our kids even here in California.
So I've been talking to you for a long time, and I just want to state something clearly. You are not running for president against Joe Biden.
Never.
And everybody that says that, stop talking about that. But here's what I don't understand. Why would you potentially not want to run for president later on? Why not keep the possibility open as the governor of the biggest state and a popular governor at that?
I guess two reasons. One, it invites more of those editorials. Yeah. I'm not naive.
Right.
And then I think it I don't want to use the word pisses people off or the phrase, but I just did.
Yeah.
It does. Understandably, it's like, hey, I hired you to be governor. Look at the streets, buddy. What have you done about encampments? I still can't afford a home. What are you doing about that? So I understand that, and that's my focus, and that's where my energy is, and it's nothing but, you know, wherever your mind flows, that's where your energy flows, or vice versa. My point being, that's what I'm focused on. I'm not focused on that.
Well, let's talk about the streets, because recently you walked the streets talking about the fentanyl crisis, and you got to see some of it firsthand in the Bay Area. You've seen what's happening on homelessness. What are we doing on that front, and what do you say to people that say we're not doing enough?
Well, we're doing more than any other state, and the data bears out. In terms of the per capita overdose race, we're outperforming many other parts of the country, but it doesn't feel that way when you walk down around Skid Row or you're near the beach here or you're anywhere in California. This is a real crisis, and we haven't taken it passively. We haven't taken it lightly. We've been way out front. I have had border for 4 years. I have sent to the border National Guard to help support our efforts on interdiction at the border. I just added another 144 National Guardsmen and women. We've invested $1 billion since I've been governor, $1 billion on the opioid crisis. I have another $96 million I'm going to be asking from the legislature. Our naloxone distribution project has literally reversed through the naloxone distribution 130 1,000 overdoses. But what's happening on the streets requires more intervention, more interdiction, more partnership with the federal government. These are organized outfits. This is a serious issue. And it's not just fentanyl now. It's this new trank that will be out on our streets. And we have to, as Democrats, own up to this. And we own up what, again, not just in terms of drug treatment, but also we got to be more aggressive on enforcement.
A couple other hot topics before I let you go. The writer's strike, just starting today, the day that we record this. I know with like that we had a strike recently involving the school district, and Mayor Bass was real involved in trying to bring that to an end. Do you see yourself as being real involved in trying to bring the writer's strike to an end?
Look, when we're asked by both sides, we engage. But we need to be asked by both sides. There are literally, I mean, there's another strike in Oakland Unified. I'm dealing with labor unrest 24/7. Remember, I'm governor of a state larger than 21 states' populations combined. Right. And so it's important that we're engaged at the right time.
Yeah.
And we have protocols and processes. We have agencies and we have individuals that do technical assistance. And as this thing ratchets it up, so we can ratchet it down and land this plane, we can't afford 100 days again. We can't afford the billions of dollars of loss, the reputational damage. At the same time, we can't afford not to acknowledge that the disparities are worse than they were 15 years ago for riders, worse for many folks that are out there that are struggling to make ends meet. And I'm about growth, but I'm also about inclusion. And so we've got to find the right balance. And AI playing a big part of this, obviously what's happening with streaming. I'm sensitive to all of that, and I'm hoping we land this plane soon because we can't afford another 100 days.
So you don't, I'm guessing you don't want to take one side or the other because you want to leave
yourself. Well, I've expressed a value proposition, but I'm also naive. I lose my utility
right
if I'm exclusively expressing a point of view one side or the other. But we're always here when both parties are at an impasse and need the support of the state.
I know you've expressed, in terms of Senator Feinstein, you hope she comes back to the Senate. Everybody hopes she comes back to the Senate. I know we've talked in the past. The last time there was a Senate opening, you were overrun with people throwing themselves at you.
I'm curious if anybody has already started to pitch themselves as a replacement to you.
Well, you may be the only one that hasn't. Unless you just did.
Has that already started happening?
Oh.
Do you get a bunch of calls on that front?
Emails, calls, texts, people stopping me. I'm not kidding. This is one of the biggest topics here.
Yeah.
It was one of the biggest topics when I was in Alabama.
Really?
In Jackson, Mississippi. What are you doing on this? I mean, like, Diane is, I mean, all I care about is her. Look, it's a hard one for me because I'm so subjective. She's one of my oldest friends, not just political friends. You have to understand where I grew up, and you have to understand my history in politics. Dianne Feinstein's been ubiquitous, and it's just hard. It's hard for all of us that have known her. And I want her, when she decides what to do and what's in her best interest, is what's in the best interest of her health and her family, that she goes out with dignity. And I don't, right now, there's a lot of politics and a lot of folks polluting the political process. I understand what's at stake, but I care about her fundamentally. And obviously I care about democracy and judges. So it's the balancing act. It's hard.
So you're not going to say if you need a caretaker or something like that?
Well, I mean, look, the hard part now is the race is not that many months away, right? The primary is early next year. So it's now a very different place. It's not an academic conversation like it was a year ago. If she does resign, I hope she doesn't. Obviously, that's a more difficult question of what you do in that relationship. And by the way, I get it. For those that say, enough of Newsom making these picks, I get it, I'm with you. I understand, it's just the nature of what it is, and I'm not gonna abdicate that responsibility, but I'm sensitive to that concern as well, and wanna respect that in terms of whatever decision we do make. But again, I hope I never have to.
The hardest question of all, Lakers, Warriors,
Oh, man. We
know who you want. Who do you think's gonna win?
Watching Steph hit 50 against the Kings. And trust me, you think, how's your day? I live at the Capitol. I'm the governor. You imagine going to a Kings game, all of them knowing where I come from, San Francisco. So I can't handle any more booze. So I'm for what you're for and everyone's for. I love sports, but I got to say, 50 points and LeBron, come on. You got two of them. I mean, the sports fans, how lucky are we?
Four California teams, the greatest.
This state is crushing it. It's another reason why everybody should be moving back to California or moving out west.
And lastly, just really thank you. for 5 years. We've been
amazing.
Through a lot together.
Congratulations.
Over the years.
What do you mean? Recalls?
We've literally ridden a roller coaster together.
Social unrest, massive recessions, floods, droughts, wildfires.
How do you sort of think about that or reflect on what the last 5 years has been like?
Resiliency. Personally, professionally, all of us. We're still here. It's been hard. And you know what? I hope everybody's reflecting on what they've all been through the last few years. And no one, I don't care how tough you think you are, everybody, I hope, is taking time internally just to, go a little soft on yourself. Don't be so damn hard on yourself. And I think more than anything else, the word, as I said, that defines the last 5 years for all of us, you included. I mean, your industry's radically changed and you're thriving, not just surviving. Is capacity for renewal and rebirth and imagination. And I think that defines California as well.
Governor, you've been so generous with your time. Thank you, and go Lakers.
Well done.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Our thanks to Governor Newsom, and our thanks to you for listening. Like us on social media, send me a note, share out information about this show so people can find out about it. Next week, a very special show, conversation with Sammy Hagar, formerly of Van Halen, amazing story about the business empire he's created and how he uses it for so much good. That's next week on The Issue, as a little different feel. In the meantime, we thank you for listening this week, and hope you have a good one.